Last year, about this time, we went through a series talking about discipleship and spiritual growth. And I encouraged you over the next year to begin to be intentional about spiritual growth. And we talked about several ways that we as believers grow, whether that's sitting under practical teaching or preaching, or having a personal ministry, or being involved in private disciplines, all of those types of things. And I encourage you that I wanted you over the next year to work on growing in these various different areas, and gave you ways to apply that and things to do. And we're closing in on the end of that time. And I wanted to kind of, as we wrap up that year, talk through some things that you can do as a disciple, or characteristics of disciples, you might say. We're going to the book of Psalms to do this. If you're here last week, we went through Psalm 120, 121, and 122 together. This morning, we're going to take the next three, but we're in the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through 134. These were the Psalms that we believe the Israelite people would sing as they walked uphill to Jerusalem to go and worship God there in Jerusalem. Three times a year, they were called to come and worship in person, and so they would make this journey, and we believe these were the psalms that they sang on their way to worship God. Some of them are reminders of who God is and what he does for us, how we relate to him. All of them, though, have something that we can take away and apply to our life as we begin to live and walk as disciples of his. So, starting in Psalm 123, just like last week, I'm going to give you a word for each of these three psalms. The first one is service. And we'll jump into it in just a minute. These psalms, they kind of fit together, but at the same time, they're individual psalms. And so we're kind of going to give you three mini sermons this morning on each of these three psalms. So if you're not liking what you're hearing, just hang out. We'll come to the next one, and maybe you'll like it better. But Psalm 123 is about service. And the question is, if I asked you what you think about slavery, no doubt you would all say, well, that's no good. Slavery's no good. It's wrong. We shouldn't participate in slavery. Okay, we're all in agreement on that. Why not? Well, the problem with slavery is the master, isn't it? If there's a slave and a master, ultimately what happens is the master begins to lord it over the slave, and pretty soon you've got a situation where one person is being taken advantage of, and that's not good. And so we don't favor slavery, but the other issue is, well, let's just jump into the psalm and then we'll get to it. Psalm 123, starting in verse 1, we read this, "A song of ascents. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy on us." The psalm starts out with kind of defining this relationship between us as humans and the God that we love and that we serve. And that relationship, he says, is like a servant and a master. Now, the word servant is a little softer than slave. We don't mind that quite as much. But the thing is, we're put in this position where we're servants of God. And we're called to serve him, are we not? And as you think through that and think about that, the issue isn't, what are we going to do about slavery or serving or any of that? The real issue is, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? And we live in a world and in a culture where there are all kinds of things calling and clamoring for our attention. And there are a lot of things that are actually calling us and coming to us in such a way that if we're not careful, we end up serving these other things. Think for a few minutes about some of the things that might have control of your life. Well, we could think of substances that might control us. But we also could think about things like technology that could control us. How many times do you hear people talk about, well, I've discovered that I can't put my phone down, or maybe you have experienced that. And pretty soon you're giving more and more time to social media or to different apps or whatever it might be on your phone, and you're enslaved to that thing. Other times we're enslaved to things like money or wealth, and we focus all of our attention on that thing, and before we recognize it, it has grabbed a hold of us and it won't let go, and we find that we're serving wealth. Another one that the Bible talks about is debt, and it kind of falls on the other end of the spectrum. We want things, and we go into debt to get things, and pretty soon we're what? The Bible says slaves to the lender. And so we live in a world where we are drawn to serve different things, and the question is, what are you going to serve? Or whom are you going to serve? And the psalmist points out that we're to serve God. And part of serving God is recognizing positionally where we fall in relationship to God. We know that we lift our eyes up to God, the one who's enthroned in the heavens. God is sitting on his throne. He's ruling over the universe, over the world that he created. And we're here standing in that universe looking up at him. It's a posture of submission before him, recognizing who he is. And so as servants, we won't approach the one that we serve in a way that's inappropriate or disrespectful. How often have you heard people talking about God and it sounds just like they talk about their buddies that they hang out with on the weekends? We recognize that there's a reverence there, a respect there. And we want to honor that. We want to honor that. And so our position before God matters. And it's that of servant before a master. And that's the appropriate stance to take. What's the problem with serving the wrong kind of master? Well, our psalmist gets into that in verse 3. He says, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." The psalmist calls for mercy. The problem with being the slave to the wrong thing is that often those things or those people are not merciful. They're out for their own best interest. They're self-seeking. And when that happens, you quickly end up in a bad situation. But the psalmist recognizes that we serve a God who's a God of mercy. And we've experienced this, have we not? If you've trusted in Jesus for your salvation, you've had the experience of recognizing that God loves you so much that he sees that we have a problem that we can't fix. It's called sin. That there's a penalty to that problem, and he sent Jesus to pay the penalty so that we wouldn't have to. A God who loves us, a God who's merciful toward us, a God who never takes advantage of us in a wrong way. He's the perfect master in a lot of ways. And so are we going to be people, are we going to be followers, are we going to be disciples who recognize who he is and then seek to serve him? The second half of verse 3 and into verse 4, he says, "For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud." That word contempt is probably not one that you use every day. It's not one that I use very often. It's one that maybe you've seen it used on TV, perhaps in a courtroom drama where someone is held in contempt of court. What does that mean? Well, generally, it means that they've been disrespectful toward the court in some way. And so as they've disrespected the court, there's a being held accountable for that, and there's a penalty that's paid. In the same way, the experience of the worshipers is that they live in a world full of people who aren't real happy that they're there. Think about the history of Israel for just a brief minute. God called Abraham to a land that wasn't his. And in that land, Abraham encountered people that weren't happy that he was there. The same thing happened with Jacob and his sons when they moved back into the land. all throughout Israel's history, Israel has had enemies surrounding it that wanted the land that they held. That's still going on today, in fact. And so the God's people throughout time have had the experience of living in such a time and place where people were disrespectful towards them, where people scorned them, where people wanted them dealt with, wanted to take advantage of them, wanted to eliminate them. And so they come from that perspective and cry out to God and say, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. We're your servants. We're your servants. And if we're your servants, then protect us from the world around us, from the things that are going on around us. And that idea leads right into our next psalm, which is Psalm 124. And our word here is help. Look at what the psalmist says. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. What's the experience of the people here? The psalmist is reminding them of experiences that they've had. They were at a time in place in history and their enemies came against them. And the psalmist says, you know, when that happened, God delivered us, but what would have happened if God hadn't showed up? Or that time when the flood came, what would have happened if God wouldn't have showed up and rescued us or helped us? The answer is it wouldn't have ended well. It would have gone poorly. You ever found yourself in a situation over which you have no control? Several years ago when we were in Michigan, I was on my way home from church. It was a Saturday afternoon. I was riding a motorcycle. One minute, the next minute, I was laying under a minivan. What would have happened had God not protected me? And if we went around the room, you probably have had similar experiences where God has protected you. And maybe it was a physical thing and he protected you in some way from things happening in your world. Maybe it was a medical thing where he protected you medically. You experienced something and he delivered you from that. I know many of your stories. I know some of you have had times where a relationship like your marriage was struggling. And it seemed hopeless, like it was never going to get better. And God reached in and helped in that situation. Maybe you've experienced that. Or maybe you've been discouraged in some way and felt just the anxiety and depression or whatever else it was, and God reached in and rescued you from that. What if he hadn't done that? What if we served a God who didn't help? That's what the psalmist is asking. But he goes on in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped." The psalmist says that wasn't the case, though. When we were at that critical moment, God didn't just leave us there, but he rescued us. He gives us two pictures. One is he rescued us as prey to their teeth. He didn't give us over to them. It's a picture of an animal who's all but caught by a predator. The other one is a bird caught in a trap, and the hunter has caught it, and there's no hope of that bird getting out on its own, except God rescuing it. The image there of prey to their teeth, it reminds me of the New Testament where it talks about there's one who's an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's one more way that God shows up and rescues us. Maybe spiritually you've been in a battle and you've felt the weight of it, and it seems like the world's closing in on you. And you call out to God for help, and he shows up. Praise be to God. He delivers us. The snare is broken. We've escaped. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. As followers of Jesus, when we find ourselves in those oppressive situations, what's our response? Well, if you're like me, too often the response is I try to fix it. That's what I do. I fix stuff. I have a mug that says it. But we try to fix it, and too often the last thing that we get to is, God, help me. When I figured out I can't fix this, then I'll ask God for help. A couple weeks ago, Jenny was here sharing with us about what goes on in junior church, and she shared the story of telling the kids the story of Jesus being in the back of the boat, and the storm is going, and they wake him up, and they're terrified, and they're afraid they're going to drown, and she finally asked the kids, so what's the lesson of the story? And the little first grader says that we should ask God for help first. How's come that little first grader can figure it out and we can't? But we, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, we should be quick to ask for help, because we serve a God who made the heaven and the earth. If he's capable of that, is he not capable of rescuing us when we need rescued? Absolutely. And that brings us to the final one. The word for 125 is security. Security. Have you ever found yourself in a spot where you felt insecure? The answer probably is yes. The one day I was at the farm and I was mowing, and it was a big mower that you pull behind a tractor like they mow or along the highways with. And the nice thing is you mow a large swath quickly. The problem is you can't just pick that mower up. It's on wheels. It's like a trailer. You pull it. And I was mowing along the side of a hill, and as I'm going along the side of the hill, I felt the back wheels of the tractor slide down the hill a little bit. That's a pretty unsettling feeling. And I've got a problem now, because I tried to go up the hill. It got flat just above where I was, but the tractor wouldn't climb the hill. It couldn't pull the mower up the hill. And I couldn't back up, because it was a trailer, I would have had to bring the front wheels further down the hill to back it and get the mower to go down the hill. So I couldn't go up the hill. I couldn't go down the hill. I was stuck. That's a pretty insecure feeling. I did make it off the hill, but it wasn't fun. But Psalm 125, it says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But to those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The psalmist is talking about God as one who provides our security. He compares him to Mount Zion. That's another name for Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. It was on top of a mountain, and it was on a mountain. It was a piece of rock. It was not movable. It was solid. The city was well built, well put together. It was a city that was easy to defend, because you had to climb the hills to get to it, to fight against it. It had walls to protect it. It was a fortress. For a long stretch of Israel's history, its enemies kept attacking and capturing more and more of its land, but the last thing to fall was the city of Jerusalem itself, because it was solid, it was secure. Not only was it on a mountain and tough to attack, but it was surrounded by other mountains, which meant if you were going to come and attack it, you had to come kind of between the other mountains. There were only so many ways you could get to the city. Which again, it made it easy to defend the path to even get to the city before you could even attack the city. It was secure. It was safe. And that's how God is. He provides security and safety for those of us who are his followers. In verse 3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteousness, lest the righteous stretch out their hands and do wrong. Have you gone out in the world lately? We live in a world that is not real fond of God or the things of God, including the people of God. We live in a world that's hostile toward us oftentimes, especially if we're out there sharing the good news about Jesus and proclaiming truth to a world that wants nothing to do with truth. And when we go and we encounter that, our response is often to pull back and say, well, I tried, God. They didn't want to hear it. But we serve a God of security, a God who watches over us, who protects us. Does that mean we're never going to have to be uncomfortable or that we're never going to suffer from the world? No, it doesn't mean that. We look at the New Testament and we see examples of people like Paul who went through thing after thing after thing to share the good news of Jesus with the world around him. But we can be confident that God keeps us secure. If we've trusted in Jesus for our salvation, we can be confident that we belong to God. And there's nothing that can take us away from him. We're secure in our faith. And so no matter what we go through, no matter what we encounter from the world around us, we can rest secure in the God that we serve. So where are you with these three psalms this morning? I've told a couple dangerous stories. It might come across as it's kind of dangerous to be a follower of Jesus. There's some truth to that. It is. It's dangerous to live in a world where the world is against you in many ways, where you represent something that the world doesn't want to know about because there's accountability involved. Yet we're called to go and be a light in that dark world. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? And as tough as that is, it gets a little bit easier when we recognize who we serve. That we serve a master who's merciful, who cares about us, who loves us, who wants what's best for us, who's willing to reach down and help us when we need help, and who provides a fortress of safety around us when we need protection. So what are you struggling with right now? Have you asked for help? Have you recognized that you serve a God of mercy who cares about you and loves you? Have you recognized and understood that you're secure in your salvation if you're a follower of Jesus? And that as such, nothing can shake you from that? Three psalms about a God who loves us and cares about us, a God whom we serve, a God who's willing to help us, a God who's a fortress, who protects us. All important things, all things that should give us confidence as we serve him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for being a God who loves us and cares about us, a God of mercy, a God who doesn't leave us on our own but is willing to help us when we need it, a God who protects us. Father, my prayer is that you would protect us each this week as we go out into this world, that we as followers of your Son would be diligent in our job of reaching this world for you, of sharing the good news of your Son, of your love for this world and their need for a Savior. Father, protect us. God, help us. Prompt us to speak to the right people that you would have us speak to, and to be wise as we encounter this world around us, to know when to share, and to know when people are just arguing for the sake of arguing. And Father, we ask that you would show us your mercy. God, we love you, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.